Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for that promise. And when we die, that we're taken into your presence, or the day you return for your church, you will rapture us up, catch us up into the clouds to meet you, and thus there always be with you forevermore. What a promise, Lord. We thank you. But Lord, until we are in your presence, you have left us in this world to be your witnesses, to be salt and light, to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to put on the full armor of God. And one thing about soldiers, Lord, they know their situation. They understand the reality that they are in. We too, as the church, must understand what is happening, understand the times that we live, and what you are calling us to do. So I ask you to bless this sermon. Speak to us this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay. Before I get to my sermon, 2021 has already been an interesting year, and it just started. Now, looking at what went on this week in the Capitol with the election and all this stuff, and I understand about the fraud, there has been lawlessness in our government for a long time. People have done things in past administrations that were completely against the law, and they were never held accountable. So, do I believe fraud happened in the election? Yes. Might get pulled off YouTube for that. Do I necessarily believe it's going to come forth and be dealt with? Probably not. So how are we supposed to feel as Christians if one more thing gets covered up? Daniel chapter 2. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have an understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him." Is it Biden who decides who's going to be a leader? Is it Trump? Is it Nancy Pelosi? Who decides who's going to lead the country? If it rests with God, who are going to be kings and who are not going to be kings, who's really in charge? God. And thank goodness, too. Yes, thank God for that. Now, that sums it up for me right there. God is king. He's in charge. Christians and the church have operated in many nations around the world under many different forms of government, under good leaders, under bad leaders, under dictators. The church has remained. So that's all I need to know. But it looks like, and I experienced it this week, that the other side and their hatred towards Donald Trump, and I'm not saying everyone here voted for Donald Trump. I know I voted for Donald Trump. Would I rather see Donald Trump in the White House over Biden? Yes. And I'll tell you why here in a second. Did Donald Trump make a big mistake about having a rally on January 6th? I think he did. Sometimes we're all humans, we all fall short, and sometimes pride gets the best of us. And it wasn't probably a smart thing to have a rally in Washington on that day when the Constitution and all the framework was going to take place, and people were going to go by the letter of the law and open up objections and talk and debate. Probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. But it seems like this week, people seized on that and painted Donald Trump to be out this terrible. This proves how terrible of a person he is. And then everyone that supported him, you're terrible too. Or you're deceived by this man. So I wanted to kind of address that. As Christians, as people who supported Trump, and I know I did, now it seems like the other side is demanding that we repent of our sin of being a Donald Trump supporter. That we seek forgiveness from them. And that we just have to admit how terrible we are, or how deceived we were. And there's some on the other side wanting to punish those who supported Donald Trump. Our country is fractured. Looking at these two men, go to the next slide. If nothing comes of all the charges of fraud, if it's never investigated and the Biden administration takes over on January 20th, so be it. I will show here, especially next week, how that is playing right into what God wants, says is going to happen. Okay? It doesn't surprise me. Before November even came, I was thinking Trump wasn't going to win, and Biden would be. If Biden got in, man, that's going to step up Bible prophecy. Lo and behold, looks like that's what's going to happen. Then the runoff in Georgia with the two senators, I just had a feeling they were going to win, the Democrats, and that's going to even propel us even further into this greater deception coming. I'm telling you, I told you last week, when you look on the prophetic horizon, tribulation period is just looming out there. Biden administration takes over on January 20th, which I think probably a good possibility. And like I said, people are demanding right now that Trump be punished, be imprisoned, be impeached, and those that support him, and then if you support him, you're supposed to hold your head down and walk around ashamed. You are a terrible person. I felt that this week, personally. I'm not going to go into it, but was presented to me in such a way that, you know, you have to admit because of what happened on Wednesday, President Trump is a terrible, evil person, and you supported him. And I felt like the person was wanting me to, you're right, I'm sorry, forgive me. Well, that's not going to happen. Not because I'm prideful, not because I'm deceived. But in America, we can have opposing opinions. I thought we had freedom. We don't all have to think alike. Why I think and supported Donald Trump, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. And I'd do it again for another 4 years, but just another four. First and foremost, he's pro-life. If there's nothing else, he's pro-life. And people go, well, that's not enough. One reason is not enough to support such an evil man. Oh, well, one reason means millions and millions of babies. So that one reason is enough to support somebody. It's pro-life. He's pro-religious freedoms. The previous administration, what do we hear about Christian businesses left and right? Attacked, lawsuits, harassment. In the last 4 years, have you heard any of that? He protected people of faith. So he was pro-life, pro-religious freedoms, pro-military. Why haven't we won a strong military? Because there's a lot of bad people out in the world. I've served in the military under liberal presidents, Democratic presidents, and Republican presidents. And I'm telling you, in the military, it is much better life serving under conservative leadership. Pro-military. Pro-Second Amendment. Pastor, you're not supposed to talk about guns in church. Pro-Second Amendment. Way that we can protect our families and protect our security. He's not a globalist. I don't know why people want globalists as leaders, because that's just playing into the New World Order that's coming. I'll be talking about that next week. And here's another big reason. He's pro-Israel. God's chosen people. God said, those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. Now, I know replacement theology has crept through much of the American church, which is a complete heresy, false doctrine. So Trump was pro-life, pro-religious freedom, pro-military, pro-Second Amendment, pro-Israel. So I'm not ashamed for supporting him. Did he maybe let his pride get in the way and make a bad judgment call this last week? Yeah. Did the minority of the majority of the Trump supporters there do anything bad? That was a small minority. I mean, that's shooting yourself in the foot pretty big, but we have nothing to be ashamed of. We voted for the person we thought best fit the office and fit our view of where we want the country to go. That's what America is all about. We don't have to be ashamed. And I'm not going to apologize. And I'm not deceived for those who think we are. All right? And if Joe Biden gets into office on January 20th, I will pray for Joe Biden. So, one more thing I wanted to point out, then I'll get to my sermon. I'm going to fall behind again today. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, in the end days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. But look at verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Let me show you a great example of speaking lies in hypocrisy. Because that's what one side has been doing to the other greatly in the last 4 years, but especially during this election. What they do, they say the other side is doing. And they don't see their own hypocrisy because they're doing what they're condemning the other side for doing. Here's a good example. Play.
Now, too many see the protests as the problem. No, the problem is what forced your fellow citizens to take to the streets. Persistent and poisonous inequities and injustice. And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful. Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful. And peaceful, 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 peaceful.
Get the point? Play the next one.
Christine, Laura, what you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations that have been burning in Kenosha, Wisconsin over the course of the
night. This guy is saying in this interview that the protests are mostly peaceful. It's right there. Fiery, but mostly peaceful protesters. Protesting. Do you see the hypocrisy? Lies within hypocrisy? Go to the next one. And here's the Trump Capitol riot. All right. And it was a small section of Trump supporters throughout the country. Why I show you this is go to the next slide. Is the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy. They want to use this one day to just totally lamb blast President Trump and all his supporters. But look at this. For 8 months now, and it's still happening in some cities, riots, protests, in 8 months compared to just one day. It wasn't even a full day of protests, one day. The BLM riots, media and politically supported. People also came out, politicians came out, the media came out. You saw video clips of them downplaying the violence and the bad thing. Oh, it's mostly peaceful. Oh, where does it say you have to protest peacefully? The Capitol one-day riot, media politically attacked all over the place. And it should have been. It was wrong. Shouldn't have done that. It was dumb. But the BLM riots, 23-plus people dead. In the one-day riot, 4 people. 700 police officers injured throughout the last 8 months compared to 14 officers injured. Still bad, but compare the numbers. In the last 8 months, 150-plus federal buildings damaged. In the one-day one, it's one federal building was damaged. In the last 8 months, hundreds of small businesses destroyed, burned down, looted. Zero small businesses on the one-day Capitol riot. Now, both should be condemned. But the hypocrisy. Because people who are saying, and I've heard them say this week, oh, how sad, how terrible this one-day riot is. And I agree. But you know what's interesting? Those same people that say how sad, how terrible this riot is, you didn't hear them say that in the last 8 months. Go to the next slide, Levi. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Selective outrage. Selective morality. Why? Because the riots in the last 8 months fit their political agenda. Their hatred for Donald Trump and all things Trump. If you're going to condemn one, you've got to condemn all. Both sides. You only condemn one side, then you're a hypocrite. So I wanted to deal with that before we got to the sermon, because it was brought to my attention this week that I should be ashamed, basically, of myself as a pastor, as a Christian, as a Trump supporter. And I'm not. Enough said. I hope that helps you. Let's move on to our sermon today. Deception, great deception, greater deception. All right. Last week we started deception. I meant to get through it. Let's see how far we can get today. All right. Now, in this series, go to the next slide. We are looking, as what I'm saying Scripture is showing, I will show in the next couple of weeks, Scripture is saying we are right here at the end of the church age. The end of the church age will end with the rapture of the church. The tribulation period will begin sometime after that when there's a peace treaty confirmed with Israel. How far the rapture is and the peace treaty, what the time in between them, nobody really knows. But what we do know is that the rapture ends the church age. Jesus said there's signs that you can see that'll tell you you're near the end. We're seeing all those signs. We've spoken about all those signs in times past. But one thing I want to point out here, as we see the signs of the end, of the tribulation period approaching, we're going to start seeing things, prophecies, that are going to take place in the tribulation period. We're going to see those prophecies not fulfilled because we're raptured out. But what we'll see is that the foundations are being laid for those prophecies to be fulfilled. So we're going to experience the foundations being laid for those prophecies. And that time period of how long it may last, months, years, will be difficult for the church. I believe the next 4 years, if Christ doesn't come get us, is going to be very difficult for the church. I believe 2021 is going to be a difficult time for the church. So we need to be aware that we're going to see things start to happen the closer we get. Now, last week we looked at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. We first looked at Romans chapter 1, and we saw that there's the Roman 1 judgment, where God turns people over to what they really want, their sin, and the sin overwhelms them, it consumes them, and they have a debased mind, a mind that doesn't work correctly. Most of the time we call those people politicians. But now they're going to be everybody, okay? Their brain is not going to work correctly because of the sin. But here in 2 Thessalonians, we also see with the debased mind, there's going to be great deception. Because people have a debased mind, they're not going to see the deception. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion on top of all of that. Because they didn't want to believe the truth. They wanted to be deceived. This will even happen inside the church. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Spirituality, spiritualism will be rampant. But many churches will fall into this. Many so-called people professing to be believers will be believers in name only because they deny the power. They deny the truth. The Word. And definitely the Word that became flesh. They deny Jesus. They reimagine Jesus into a Jesus he is not. Or they redefine him or his teachings and create a Christianity that is false. They're denying the power. They're denying the truth. Romans 1 says this, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." We have so many false gospel presentations. It all revolves around Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth. His gospel is the truth. His teachings are the truth. His identity of who he is the truth. That's the power of Christianity. And there's going to be many people who deny those truths. And they're going to embrace the world and the things of the world. You're going to see this in the churches, and we see that definitely today. So, we came to the conclusion last week. There are these two main reasons that there's so much deception going on, and so many people are falling for the deception out there. Romans 1, judgment, the debased mind, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the deception and delusion sent by God. Now, here's where we're going to begin. Deception. What I'm going to talk about today, hopefully get through, is the deception that we see right now, and it's been happening maybe for even for years, it's already been happening. But it's here right now. Deception. We're going to begin with the homosexual agenda. All right. Now, the deception of the homosexual agenda. What's the great deception? Anybody know? It's that way you're born that way. It's normal. It's a normal way of life. That's the great deception. It's just an alternative lifestyle, but it's completely normal. And they paint that in shows and TV and things like that. It's completely normal. Until you start looking into the people who live inside that lifestyle. Many studies have been done, but these studies are ignored. These studies are trying, people try to hide them. This is what they found out in these studies. Here are the statistics. Homosexuals are more likely to suffer from depression. A new study in the United Kingdom has revealed that homosexuals are about 50% more likely to suffer from depression and engage in substance abuse than the rest of the population. The risk of suicide jumps over 200% in the homosexual community. The lifespan of homosexuals is on average 24 years shorter than heterosexual. Now, depression, suicide, the homosexual community blames it on people not accepting them, being homophobic, judgmental. No, it has nothing to do with that. It is the lifestyle. This is what Robert Hogg found in his report called Modeling the Impact of HIV Disease on Mortality in Gay and Bisexual Men. In an International Journal of Medicine, Volume 26, 1997, this was discovered. This is the report. It goes on, it says, a further 15% reported having more than 1,000 sexual partners. This is what the lifestyle promotes. They don't show this. They show it all just one man, one couple. But actually, they have one couples, but they end up having partners, some 1,000 partners in a lifetime. This was found in the comparable demographic and sexual profile of older homosexual active men. That was the article. That was the research done in the Journal of Sex Research, Volume 34, 1997. Domestic violence is higher among homosexuals. The incident of domestic violence among homosexuals is nearly double that of the heterosexual population. This was an article done by two doctors, Intimate Violence in Lesbian Relationships, Discussion of Survey Findings and Practice Implications, Journal of Social Service Research, Volume 15, 1991. Sex of women with women at a greater health risk than women with men. For women, a history of sex with women may be a marker for increased risk of adverse sexual diseases, reproductive problems, and general health outcomes compared with women who reportedly exclusively have sex with men. The American Journal of Public Health, 1997. If the homosexual activity lifestyle was just another normal lifestyle, why do gay men have a lifespan that is significantly less than heterosexual men? Why is the homosexual man more likely to be diagnosed with HIV than heterosexual men? Why is the incident of domestic violence double that of heterosexual men and women? Why do lesbian women have greater health risks than heterosexual women? Why is substance abuse statistics way higher in the homosexual community? Depression is higher. Suicide is higher. Why? It's not normal alternative lifestyle like they want you to believe. But guess what? The world now believes they were made that way. Wasn't a choice. They were made. Even though there's no scientific study to prove any sort of genetics making someone a homosexual. None. Zero. It's a life decision. It's a choice. It may be made very early. It may be made in complete ignorance because people are pushing their agendas. But it's the deception that is just a normal alternative lifestyle is in place. Once people accepted the homosexual agenda, men with men and women with women, that started to affect and redefine the next deception, which is marriage. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I got away from my notes. You're a good job, Levi. I wanted to say this before I moved on. If someone thinks that I'm, oh, he's so homophobic, he's so filled with hate. No. Even with the homosexual, there's always hope. There's always hope with any sinner. Here's the hope right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul writes this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So, I love those who are in the homosexual lifestyle, just like God loves them. And His love is so pure that His love demands they know the truth. Homosexuality is not an alternative normal lifestyle. It is sin, and they need to turn from it, and they can turn from it, and they can be washed and cleansed, just like all of us sinners were washed and cleansed from all the different sins we were in before we came to know Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to make sure, I put that in there, I wanted to make sure that I'm not going to be attacked online being, I'm just filled with hate. No, I'm not filled with hate. And I pray that those stuck in the homosexual agenda and the deception will come out of it. Now, because of the homosexual agenda, because of the deception there, now it affected marriage. Marriage became an institute that didn't seem to work with the other alternate lifestyles. And so we had to redefine what marriage is. So for all human history, marriage was between one man and one woman. There's always been some abuses of that, even by godly people, having more than one wife or more than one husband. But that people paid heavy prices for that, even God's people. A lot of problems God arose because they took out and tried to change the definition slightly. But it's always been between two opposite sex, two genders, two different genders. But in 2011, our then President Obama, Attorney General, announced that the Department of Justice would no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act, defining marriage between a man and a woman. That led to the Supreme Court hearing and decision, and then following that, the law was changed and marriage was redefined. Marriage was altered to be from what God designed it to be. Once you take something and pervert it, change it, it's not going to be esteemed anymore. It's been tampered. It's been corrupted. So where marriage used to be something people strive to be and think that was a good thing, especially if a couple had children, because now marriage has been changed and the delusion there that marriage can mean multiple different, have different meanings. Look what it's done to the view of marriage in our country. Go to the next slide. The Gallup poll here, Americans view marriage as less important. If you go down to the bottom, it says 2006, 49% considered marriage important in a society, especially if a couple has children. Well, I think if you ask all the children, they'd say marriage is very important to have mom and dad there all the time. But it was 49, almost half. But here in 2020, it's down to 29%. So they changed what marriage was, and now we really don't need to think highly of marriage. So there was the deception of the homosexual agenda, the deception that marriage could be changed and redefined, and now it's just not important to most people, 70% at least. So the homosexual agenda, the marriage redefined, then that led to gender identities, the delusion there. For all of human history, there's been two genders, male, female. Then we come to 2021. Conservatively here, there's 112 genders. Some say more. But conservative, we can say today that that people believe that there's 112 different genders. How did we go from 2 to 112? If this is not deception and delusion, I don't know what is. But when you change the view on what people are supposed to be, heterosexual, attracted to the opposite sex, and you change that and accept it as normal, then you redefine marriage, and now it's no longer mom and dad. It's genders get confused. Even this last week, Nancy Pelosi put out a thing about genders and talking about male and masculine and feminine pronouns and stuff. I'll talk about that next week. But this change of this identity delusion, this deception of genders, led to the delusion that a full-grown man can classify himself as female and go into the bathroom with little girls are. That guys can be in girl locker rooms. And that's complete delusion. Biological male to use the same bathroom, dressing room as little girls. And they say that's a good thing. Here in California, there was a push to change the age of consent for children. So adults would not get in as much trouble or no trouble at all having sex with kids that are considered too young. The homosexual agenda clearly has affected marriage, and gender identities. And that right there, those three things, have this, those that believe in this stuff, these people have drawn a line in the sand where the majority of them, of the world, is on this side, believing this stuff. And there's one group over here that opposes it. Biblical Christians. Then we're called haters. We're called intolerant. Homophobes. Filled with hate. Haters. We're called unchristlike. I think it was designed to do that. So this is all deception that's been taking place right before us. Now let's move on because I'm running out of time. I had more stuff, but I'm going to move on. All right, so in the homosexual agenda, go to the next slide, Levi. Homosexual agenda, inside that is the marriage and the gender deception as well. But for being able to fit everything on the screen, the next thing is climate change. Now that's huge, right? Homosexual agenda and all that affects us personally. But this one right here, this climate change, it's affecting the whole world, every nation, they say. And there's people saying that we have like 10 years before the planet is destroyed, right? Is climate change real? Well, this next video, I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's just too long. But this is a scientist that he's interviewing. And this is the creator, the founder of the Weather Channel. And he talks about in this interview, 30,000 scientists have signed on with him saying there's no such thing as climate change. Let's just listen to the first minute. Go ahead.
Climate deniers, people who believe climate change is not happening in any meaningful way, are sometimes painted in the media as fringe characters, as kooks. So this might shock you. A man who co-founded the Weather Channel thinks climate change is a hoax. His name is John Coleman. Before launching the Weather Channel in the early 1980s, he was the original weatherman on Good Morning America. And after launching the channel, he was also a local weatherman in New York, Chicago, and San Diego. Now he's retired, but his recent open letter saying that climate change is, quote, not valid, got a lot of attention and landed him in prime time on Fox News. So what did the Weather Channel do? It very publicly disavowed him. After all, for those who believe that the climate is changing and fast, this is a life and death matter. I've said before here on Reliable Sources that I don't think there are two equal sides to climate change. The scientific consensus is that it's real. The debate is over what to do about it. And the press has to be careful about creating this notion of sides. But Coleman's platform as a co-founder of a channel dedicated to weather is unique, and so is the channel's declaration that it believes climate change is happening. So this morning, both players are here, Coleman and the CEO of the Weather Channel, David Kenney. First, let me bring in John Coleman. He's in San Diego this morning. Thank you for being here.
It's nice to be on CNN. Hello to all your viewers. I resent you calling me a denier. That is a word meant to put me down. I'm a skeptic about climate change, and I want to make it darn clear, Mr. Kenney's not a scientist. I am. He's the CEO of the Weather Channel now. I was the founder of the Weather Channel, not the co-founder.
And I'm glad you did, because I am addicted to the Weather Channel. I watch
a lot
of cable news.
Now, hold on just a minute. I'm not
here,
done.
Listen.
And CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future.
Okay.
There's a whole
lot
of
click. He goes on and on. That interview is on Google. You can just type it in and look at it. He goes on and he explains why so many scientists are saying there's climate change, because they're being funded by the government. They get the money for the grants if they are on board. If you're not on board, you don't get the grant. So it's all driven by money. And he's saying that there is no man-made. Does climate change? Yeah, we know climate changes over time. Science has proven that. Go to the next slide. Here, this was back in 2009 study. This is from the Associated Press. A scientific study shows North Pole was once tropical. In fact, it was 55 million years ago. I'll argue with that point. But still, the Arctic was once like Miami with an average temperature of 74 degrees. Alligator ancestors and palm trees were found. All right. So, yeah, the climate changes over time. But it's not man-made like this agenda is trying to push today. Go to the next slide. They found palm trees under the ice. They find lots of interesting things under the ice. Most of this stuff is swept under the rug because it goes against climate change. The climate will change on its own. We can't control it. But see, if you can get climate change, the deception that it's man-made and we have to make these drastic changes and immediately, because we only have 10 years before we're all dead. You see, fear seems to drive people. You can control people through fear. And if you make it out bad enough, then people will do what you want. And so they got these agenda called the New Green Deal. Maybe you've heard of it. It's coming, folks. Not just American politicians want it. The UN wants it. Lots of countries want it. Because it's going to take a lot of wealth from us and distribute it around the world. I'll be talking about that next week as well. But it's going to, the New Green Deal is going to strip away freedoms. It's going to change life like we as we know it. And it's laying the groundwork for a new world order or a new world government. Again, I'll be talking about that in the weeks to come. So climate change. Now let's go to the next one because I really got to move here. Racism and defund the police, okay? Here's the deception. All white people are racist. That's just crazy. All right, and defund the police. If we take the police away, then all the bad people will say, well, know what? I'm going to be good now. Because, you know, they think it's like when we were kids and you played cops and robbers, you know? But you couldn't play if you were the robber and there was no cops. So now people today, the bad guys, are going to say, well, there's no cops around, so we shouldn't be bad. I don't have time for this, racism is out there. There's no doubt. There's people that are racist. I've seen them in all colors. And it's wrong. It's wrong. It's ignorant to look at somebody's skin color and not like them or judge them. That is just the epitome of ignorance, stupidity. I don't even have enough words to describe it. God says we all came from one blood. The human race is all related if we trace the family tree back far enough, if you really believe the Bible, and I do. Which is terrifying that Patrick is related to me. But he knows he's my brother. Racism's out there. Christ came and died for everybody. He loves all. His people are to love all. So, you know, we're not denying the fact that people are racist out there. We do deny the deception that all white people are racist, and that minorities, it's impossible for them to be racist because they're the minority. I've met minorities that are racist, trust me, okay? Racism, real, it's sinful, it needs to be changed. The only thing that's going to fix racism is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this whole thing about defund the police because the police are out killing black men. They're on the hunt, right? That's the deception. That's what's been bought by so many people. It's a lie. If you go to the statistics, the crime statistics of the United States, state level and federal, you'll see that every year more unarmed white people are killed by cops than unarmed black people. Every year. There's more white people killed. So it's not true that they're hunting down black people. The percentage is higher in the black race because the percentage of black people compared to white people when you have is less than white. So when you look at the percentage, it looks like it's higher, but the clear numbers are what they are. Last year, 14 unarmed black victims, 14 across the United States, were killed by police. 25 unarmed white victims. So who got killed more? White. There's no racism out there penetrating all of the police and all the law system. Okay? Police have a hard job. Hard job. And this whole racism and defund the police is a delusion. Now, go to the next thing. Just look at it real quick. Go to the next slide. All right. I don't have time to play this for you. Just kill the volume. But this is on YouTube. You can Google this. Go back to the beginning. Go back, Levi. Right there. Fight for the Soul of Seattle. It's a documentary. And in it shows the decay of Seattle, especially as they pulled law enforcement out of the picture. It's exactly what's happening in all of California. It's a very good documentary. It's not done from a Christian's perspective, so beware of that. Just there's a little bit in there. But Fight for the Soul, but it's all about, a lot of it is taking the police out of the way and thinking that that's going to fix the situation. It's made it worse in Seattle. It's going to make it worse wherever it is. All right. Now go forward. All right, there we go. So we got these, okay? Inside racism, defund the police, you got critical race theory. Critical race theory is saying that what the purpose of critical race theory is to mistrust anybody of any other race. Well, there's only one race on the planet. It's called the human race. But what they're trying to say is ethnic groups. But critical race theory tries to divide the ethnic groups to be in factions, to war against one another. Because if you can divide a people up into factions, they're easier to control. They're easier to manipulate. This whole racism thing, that America is completely racist, is not true. Most people in America, whatever color, are not racist. But people have bought in through critical race theory, that faction over there that's not the same skin color as you hates you. So you have to hate them. Divide and conquer people that way. All right. Go to the next one. Legalization of drugs. I'm going to be real quick here. That's just, it's delusion. We see what drugs does to people. Some of you have had drugs affect your family in a very personal way. You see what drugs do. Legalizing drugs, that's going to fix everything? That's just delusional. And not only have they legalized like marijuana, which they say is not a big drug, but this last election, Washington and Oregon legalized cocaine and heroin. That's just complete delusion. Go to the next one. Coronavirus. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Again, I'm not saying that the virus is not real. The virus is real. We know it's not as deadly as they told us a year ago. A year ago, they had everyone fearful that millions of people were going to die. Fear again. You make people fear, you can get your agenda done. You can control people. You can manipulate them. That's what they've been doing for this last year. The fear, the deception behind the coronavirus. It is 99.6 survival rate. That's better than the common cold and flu. Why are people so scared? And there are groups that are more more in danger of getting it than other groups of age-wise and health-wise. But still, it's in the 99 percentile survival rate. Why are we needing a vaccine? And even if you get a vaccine, it's not really a vaccine because usually you get a vaccine and you get it once, right? You might have to get a booster later in life, but usually you get one shot. But with this is not a vaccine. It's not even a booster. It's vaccine you probably have to get every 3 months, they're saying. You have to get it every 3 months for the rest of your life. And then you still have to wear a mask. You still have to social distance for a virus that is 99% survivable. What's going on here? The death rate in America hasn't changed this year. Go to the next slide. You can look this up. CDC and other websites have it. Now, oh, I'm out of time. Here's the death rate, 8.8. But here back in 1986, it was 8.9. 8.8 back in 85. Go to the next slide. Back in the 70s, it was in the 9s. The death rate hasn't changed this year. Why is that? Well, we've had 300 and something thousand people die of coronavirus. It had to have changed. It hasn't. Why? Because death in every other category has gone down this year. Did you know that? Look it up. Heart attacks, best year for not having a heart attack. It's true. Strokes, everything, cancer. It's been a great year to have those things because your chances this year were light. You see, what they did is they dropped the percentage in all those other categories for the deaths of the coronavirus. Have you even heard about the flu this year? We're in the middle of flu season. Coronavirus is real, but it's not as deadly. But now, you know, we've had this shelter, this nice aspect that the coronavirus, you know, us younger people or younger than me even, teenagers and young people, they were safe. Whew. Just the older people. But now this new strand all of a sudden comes out of nowhere and you can get it easier than the other strand. And guess what group it mostly affects? Under 20. Trying to keep everyone scared, fearful, controlled, deception. Why? Go to the next slide. This is the first 5 or 6 months of the virus when we were in lockdown. Again, the death rate didn't change. You know that there have been people died of coronavirus. There was this one guy in Florida who died of coronavirus, and he was a young guy. He's like 25. He died of coronavirus, and he was completely healthy. He was an athlete. He died of coronavirus. Not because his motorcycle got wrapped around a telephone pole. He died of coronavirus. There have been people who have died of coronavirus and I'm not saying this to be as a joke. This is true. They died of coronavirus, not the bullet holes that were in them. There's deception going on here because they're wanting an agenda. They're bringing greater deception. Because Satan, the lawless one, is already at work. And the Bible tells us that there'll be a great world government, a new world order. We're seeing the groundwork being laid. You know, America is the last holdout in the world to this agenda. But maybe not much longer. The virus has been used and is going to be used to bring about things that are going to happen in the tribulation period. One more thing, I'm almost done. Go to the next slide. If you want to travel next year, you may need a vaccine passport. Now, some companies in America and around the world are starting to say, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't work at their company. Some stores are going to start to say they're going to require that you are have the vaccine before you can come and shop in them. And travel, of course, you're going to have to prove if you want to get on a plane and travel anywhere. You may even travel outside your town. To another town they're talking about. Is there something in the Bible that talks about people have to get something so that they can buy, sell, and travel? Mark of the Beast. Now, is the vaccine the mark of the beast? Let me be very, very clear. No. It's not the mark of the beast. Again, the systems that are going to be that need to be in place for the tribulation period, for the Antichrist to take control, those systems have to be up and running. so he can step in, take control of it. What we see through this virus is the groundwork being laid for the system more than likely the Antichrist will use. It's conditioning people already to understand if you want to have freedom, you must do what the government tells you. There's an agenda coming. Go next slide. All this deception is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm going to keep you for 4 more minutes. Please be patient with me. I need you to see this because this is what I'm going to be talking about next week. Here comes the greater deception. Listen or watch and read this very carefully. Play it. Hit one time. There you go. World Economic Forum. I'll let you know who they are. You can do your own study this week, but we'll be talking about that video. Because in that video, there are so many, what it was saying are directly tied to Bible prophecies and signs of the times that the Bible warns us. The whole thing. Deception can be painted in such a way that it can look appealing. It can look good. It can sound good. It's not good. The deception. I know this probably hasn't been like, wow, Pastor, I feel so good now. It's the reality, though. It's reality. It's the world we live in. It's the world we have to operate in as believers, as the church. So just accept it. But we're not just going to hide in the corner. We're not going to hide in our little church and wait for Jesus to come back. No, the faithful servant, who is that faithful servant? Is the one who is doing when his Lord returns. We're going to do the church. We're going to do the gospel. We're going to do salt and light. We're going to do witnessing for Jesus Christ. Even as the world runs towards deception. And the new world order and the tribulation is on the horizon. We'll get into more to that next week. Go to the last verse and we're done. But we abound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren. Beloved by the Lord, that's who you are. Because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, brethren, doesn't matter what's coming, what's happening around us, who's going to be in the White House? Who's not going to be in the White House? None of that matters. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. Be the church until the Lord comes. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, I had to rush it. Oh, there never seems to be enough time. Lord, I pray that I got the points across. I pray that you give us understanding of this deception that is around us. And I pray that anybody watching this online especially, not get offended right off and close their ears, but listen to the truth. This is not hate speech. This is not being judgmental. This is understanding, Lord, that sin has destroyed this world. It has destroyed humanity. Humanity is a fallen being. Humanity is deceived so easily. But Lord, you love humanity. But what humanity must do is humble themselves and understand that you are God, that you sit on the throne. You call the shots. You make the rules. And the rules are good rules. Your laws are perfect. They protect us. Lord, sin destroys us. Even though sin feels good for a while, it eventually destroys us. And if humanity remains in sin, you will bring the judgment. But you are patient that none should perish, but all should repent. So, Lord, I pray for anyone listening to this sermon to understand that you've used an imperfect vessel like myself to try to get this truth out. But, Lord, that they'll understand. And they won't be offended. And they'll have ears to hear. Lord, we live in a time of deception. Your people need to be wise to this. And understand, even though the deception is all around, we can walk in truth. We can walk in the light. And we are called to be that light. To help those who are deceived, who are trapped in darkness, find the light. Find the truth. Find Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I ask you to help us not be focused on politics or disheartened because our man didn't win the election or that those that are evil are not being held accountable. Lord, let us look to you because the only justice we're going to find in this universe, let alone this earth, is found in you and only in you. Your grace, your mercy. So, Lord, I ask you to help us. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'm going to stop here. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for the grace you just showed me in keeping you over. I will try my better next week to get all my information in on this. A lot of time I have. Thank you. We'll end right here. We're going to break our huddle because I know Jacqueline will never let me get away with it. If I don't, we're going to break our huddle. Going to go out into the playing field of the world. But I'll be glad to stick around and talk to anybody who would like to talk. So here we go. 3, 2, 1, break. Let's go.